So like with executives who are out there, if you built a business or you're in charge of a business, I can only assume that excellence in the thing that you do or the product that you sell is a very, very important aspect of the way you run your business. And I believe that the same should be true about your marketing messages. Our marketing message is excellent. It looks excellent. It's well thought out. It's done well. And it's just important to fight for that.
Welcome to Aligned with host Sean Doyle, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between their sales and marketing. For today's episode, we're replaying a fan favorite from the Aligned archives featuring commercial film director and executive producer Taylor Robinson. In this two-part episode, Taylor and Sean break down the foundational principles of storytelling. They discuss what it is and why it's integral for marketers at any level to integrate into their current marketing practices. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd greatly appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
Welcome to Aligned. I'm Sean Doyle, your host of Aligned, the podcast for executives of emerging middle market companies. We are here today with Taylor Robinson, fortunately a friend and in many cases a coworker when we get to work on projects together. So Taylor, welcome.
Thank you. It is a pleasure. I'm excited to be here. It's a beautiful morning.
We're doing something new. We're sitting outside. So yeah, you're here, my neighbor's dog, which if y'all could figure out how to get it to quit barking, it would be great. If we, you hear some birds and who knows, this is an experiment. As Taylor often says when we're working together, this is probably a terrible idea.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea.
Well, we'll see. If you're listening as you're driving down the road and you hear a bird, it's actually not in the back of your car. It's here in my front yard. Taylor, the executives that are listening are people who are trying to improve their sales or marketing or communications in some manner. It could even be internal communications. We've worked together on commercial projects. We've worked together on nonprofit work. We've worked together on internal communication programs. Yeah. So I think as we talk about storytelling, keep that in mind. Everybody wants to have a practical takeaway. So I hope today's conversation can be a mixture of ideas and maybe even strategic or philosophical, so people can execute these things ongoing with this help, but also maybe just one or two simple, really practical tips. But let's start by, tell us about you.
Okay, so I make a living as a commercial film director. 6'5" does a lot of commercial work. We do a lot of work with you, where clients come to us with problems that they're trying to solve with either video or film or some kind of video problem, and we tell them what our best ideas are, and then we go and execute. So we make TV commercials, we make online videos, we make HR videos, industrial videos. But the thing that we're the best at, that I think we sell ourselves the best at, and that we are the best at, is just good old-fashioned storytelling. So if you have a thing that you're trying to sell, I believe the best way to sell it is to tell a story about it. And it really doesn't matter what the thing is, because a story works no matter what. And so you asked me to tell about me. So that's what I do as a video film director.
I was going to say, that's not who you are. That's what you do.
That's right.
But who are you? I mean, I know you as a 6'5", hence the name of the company, Texan with a big handlebar mustache.
That's right.
I'm a 6 foot tall guy. I hate standing next to you. It's horrible. But tell me about you.
Okay.
Who are you?
I got this. I can do this better. So I'm the son of a Texas high school defensive line football coach who is exactly what you expect. My mother was a home economics teacher, and my mother and my grandmother, in the midst of a huge influence to do competitive things in sports and whatnot, my grandmother and my mother fought really hard to do what they call give me culture. And so as a little kid, I grew up straddling competitive athletics and my father, and also being in the high school musical and learning how to play music and being in the church choir and all of those things. And so I can sit down with anybody and talk about football and understand the difference between the different kinds of offenses or the different kinds of backfield, but I can also sit down and talk about music and all of those things.
So Friday Night Lights, talking Smash Mouth, you know how to hit somebody. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I know how. I know in theory how to do it. I am also tall. I'm not as strong as I might appear, so my back is not so good. So if I were to play in a football game, I'd probably break in half.
Well, I'll say I know you also as an incredibly kind guy.
No, that's
so
nice.
Maybe Smash Mouth football is
That's right.
Well, so I think it's interesting what you're saying. It actually points to something that I've been thinking about. Make a good question for you. So marketing, sales and marketing, but I'll say marketing specifically, in this case, filmmaking and storytelling. When I say filmmaking, by the way, video, shooting video.
Sure. It's such
just a broad term. But so story, filmmaking sounds so fancy. So marketing as an art, it's interesting because it's not art that looks like a painting where I do it alone and then you participate in it some other time, or I write a piece of music and then you listen to it driving down the road, or, you know, it's a conversation. Storytelling is a conversation that's happening. So if it's film or if it's a live story, I mean, I'm interacting, the audience is participating in a story, I think, in ways other than traditional art might. So interestingly enough, I think your background, whether it's competitive athletics or being in a play, love of music, it all kind of ties into this art form, this participative art form. So right now, all the executives are going, oh gosh, this got really wonky. So, but help me understand, if you're an executive, how do you understand this art thing, this storytelling as an art?
Well, so I think that my definition of the word art is just any form of expression, right? So you take something that you want to communicate and you find a way to express it that isn't in many ways concrete, you know? So it can be painting, it can be writing, it can be the creation of video, it can be music. And you use the form of art. Well, you use art in all different forms. That's in marketing, that's in music, in expression. And so the answer to the question is, well, people are attracted to other people and companies' expression. And what I mean by that is, look at Facebook. Facebook has given everyone in the world the idea that your thoughts and your ideas and what's important to you are important. It's given everybody this heightened sense of expression. I can express myself. And so we're all drawn to that. And I believe the reason that we're drawn to that is because of storytelling. We like to hear stories. We like to tell stories. And so for executives out there who are thinking about, it sounds artsy-fartsy to talk about marketing as an art form or storytelling as an art form, but it's really not. My father is a football coach and he's one of the best storytellers I've ever met. And there's not a person listening to this podcast who wouldn't love to sit down around a fireplace and listen to my dad tell stories about the farm because he's just great at it. And that is an art form. He's great at it.
So tell me about storytelling. And even though there's one person on stage with a mic or in front of the camera, what are the techniques? What are ways that storytelling allows a viewer to be a participant, not just a viewer or a listener?
So the best thing about good storytelling, maybe. And is that true? Yeah. Is that a story's greatest strength is in how relatable it is to the audience. So for example, my favorite movie is Jaws. I've never been attacked by a shark. I've never been bitten by a shark. However, I know what it's like to be really, really scared. And great storytelling takes the audience into account. And it tells them a story that they, in some ways, can see themselves in, or that they can understand what's going on for the characters involved. And so it's all about relatability. And when you talk about companies like to talk about themselves, I think oftentimes, this is true whenever I coach people to do an arc stories, or even whenever I sit down with a new client who wants to make a video. Oftentimes, the hardest hurdle to get over at the beginning of a creative process is this person who wants to tell a story doesn't actually know what their story is about. And they think we should tell the story about this or this or this. And that's not a story. That's just, that's you recounting the history of your company. Or that's you with ARC stories, you can't get out of your way. And so what's really important is for companies who find themselves talking about themselves all the time is to stop, look at what you have, back out, and look at your company or your product or your business or your service through the eyes of your customer and say, what's the story they want to hear? What's a story that they will relate to the most that just happens to have my company or my product or my service involved?
Love it.
And a lot of times, that's when you can begin to see a story for what it should be in a marketing sense. And that's also where good videos and good websites and good just sales calls over the phone or over dinner, they go from being bullet lists of, let me tell you a little bit about this thing that we do. We do XYZ, ABC, and that'll help you XYZ, ABC, which is just a list. That's not storytelling. That's you just, you know, talking about yourself. We say, hey, let me tell you a story about this customer that we had and the problems that we solved for them. And that's true across the board, even if you're not trying to sell something. Great storytellers, they can read an audience quickly, whether that be around a campfire or it be a film that releases on 150, that releases on 1,200 theaters nationwide. Storytellers, they take the audience into account and they help them carry.
After more than 20 years in the trenches, Fitzmartin, CEO, put pen to paper to share what has proven to work for his clients. With the help of Brock Bench Press, Sean has been able to articulate 19 practical ideas founded in behavior change science that will change how you, your team, and your organization view marketing. Pick up your copy of Shift today on Amazon or click on the link in the show notes.
And so talk to me about that shift, that participation. And okay, let's say we're manufacturing something. How do I change from doing a story about the thing I manufacture and telling you about it to allowing me to participate in it? And I realize this is a principle. The application has to be specific to everybody's stories. But how do you make that shift? How do you stare at a white sheet of paper and figure out how to pivot the story to somebody else's point of view, where then I can be interested and engaged? Because now it's about me. It's not about you.
That's right. So what I would say, boy, it's a long, complicated answer. But what I would say is to start with two things. And this is probably something you say to your clients all the time. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish? What do we want? Do we want people to be better
at whatever?
And are we going to teach them how to do that? Or do we want them to buy this thing? And those are two very different things. So start with what you want to accomplish. And then right after that, you got to think about it from the customer or the target audience's point of view. What is the information or story, or to use filmmaking terms, what's the sequence that they need to go through in order to accomplish the thing that I want to accomplish?
So as you know, in our philosophy or our trans-theoretical model of behavioral change, we teach people that you've got to start with, the science teaches that you've got to start with recognizing yourself, recognizing the need to pay attention. So you've got to be engaged at the beginning of this story as we go through the beginning. How do you do that? How do you start a story off?
Okay. In the simplest terms, the best way to get a story going or to make the audience grab a hold of the story is, you know, they have different terms for it, but it's called the hook. You want to hook the audience with something. So there's a screenwriter, I forgot what his name is, but he wrote a book called Save the Cat. And it's basically a book about the formula for writing the perfect screenplay that you can sell in Hollywood. And it's so detailed to the point of, he says, on page 7 of your screenplay, something like this needs to happen. And to go back to your question, the answer is you've got to quickly set up one of your fundamental structural, a story structure elements, and that is the problem, right? So in story structure, there's a lot of different terminology, and I break story structure down into four parts. You got a problem, you got a character, you've got the solution, and a place, right? And so in order to hook the audience, you've got to set the problem in front of them quickly, right? And so that's
as a member of the audience, I need to see myself in that problem, right?
That's right.
Or can it be a problem that I'm totally not involved? Because you see film, hey, I'm an astronaut and I'm stuck on Mars.
That's right.
That's not reality.
There are things about that that you do relate to, that you can relate to. So if it's a story where a guy is stuck on Mars, I don't know what it's like to be stuck in a spaceship on the surface of Mars, but I do know what it's like to be really, really scared and to not know what's going to happen. And so the great storytellers, whatever that Matt Damon movie is where he's stuck on the surface of Mars, the storytellers, they don't lean into what is it like to be stuck on the surface of Mars. They lean into what is it like to not know what's going to happen and to have to solve these problems in order to save my life. Because those are the things that everyone can relate to. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how to create water out of sunlight on the surface of Mars and grow plants, but I do know what it's like to be desperate. And so they lean into desperate and they let the science stuff just be a part of the problem that he's solving and he's desperate to save his own life.
So if I'm a manufacturer or a service provider, what I just heard you say is what I do, what I'm selling is like the science. It's actually a secondary part
Correct.
Of the story.
That's right.
So if I'm going to do a video that's really powerful,
that's right.
My product and service is actually not the star.
That's right.
The star is you, the viewer.
That's right.
And the problem being solved. So it's really not even about me.
That's
my
right.
company, my service, my product, what I'd make is the secondary player, right?
Yeah, that's right. So
that sounds terrifying.
If you were to ask, so when we teach storytelling and when we do things, there's a list of probably 10 secret ingredients to making a story really, really good. And if you were to put me on the spot and say, what's the most important secret ingredient for storytelling? I would tell you stakes, right? And I promise I'm about
like
to answer your question.
Ribeyes.
No, not that. Stakes. Like, what is at stake? What does the main character of the story stand to gain or lose? Is his life on the line? Is the whole is all of humanity online? Is his marriage on the line? What's at stake in the story, right? And so with storytelling, if you're trying to sell, let's make something super complicated that is way over complicated. I had a client call me one time. They make an iPad app that has a little dongle connector thing that you plug into it that you put poop from a chicken farm. You put the poop from the chickens into the deal. The deal chews it up and like analyzes it. And then the app analyzes the diet of the chickens. It's like incredibly complicated, right? But how do you tell a story about that product that makes it in some ways interesting and a story that people, okay, who's your audience? Other people who have chicken farms. And then what is at stake, right? So when I say stakes are most important, the reason I believe stakes are most important is because stakes go hand in hand with the problem. Mm. If you've got a story that has no problem, you actually don't have a story. Mm-hmm. You've got a list of features or something like that.
Right, which is why those features and benefits advertising, that stuff is boring.
Yeah, and it may have worked before, but it doesn't anymore because people, they sift through the BS and everybody's got the greatest thing that's ever happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Or at least made the claim.
That's right, right. So stakes and the problem, they go hand in hand. And so with this chicken app, this chicken poop app, the problem is, you got a bunch of guys who are raising thousands and thousands of chickens who need to analyze the poop of the chickens. And I can only imagine, I don't know a lot about it, but the process is very complicated. It's obviously very filthy. And so that's your problem. Let's solve right. that problem. And so these people created a product that is a solution to the problem. Like products, people, inanimate objects, like products that someone might sell, Snickers bars, poop apps, oil derricks, trees, like inanimate objects don't have problems. Right. Humans have problems.
That's why we all love those ads about the grumpy, you know, person that eats the Snickers.
That's right.
It's really not about the candy bar.
Or what it tastes like.
Yeah. It's about you.
You're grumpy.
You're a human. You're a better human being.
That's right.
And it solves this grumpy, tired, hungry
That's
problem.
Right. And humans are what have problems. And stories hinge on problems. and what's at stake in the story.
Okay, so if you're an executive listening to the Taylor, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're an executive, what I'm hearing you say is the executive has to have the guts to do a video or to listen to you or some expert come in and say, here's the way we're going to tell this story. And as an executive, I can't say, but my product's not the star. Yeah. My product's not the hero.
That is exactly what I'm saying. And because it is a fundamental issue in there, is that products, things, whatever you're trying to sell is only a solution to a problem. Stories revolve around problems, not around products, right?
Right.
And so stories are the most effective way to communicate anything. And stories are human things. They happen like to humans.
So I'm always looking for a lever as an executive, as a business person. I'm looking for a way to take advantage or get advantage over my competitor.
Correct.
So if they're doing features and benefits videos or not even doing videos at all, this is an opportunity
Absolutely.
To tell stories about people. Now, that said, what do I do if I see my competitors also telling people stories? Testimonials are a really popular thing. You see a lot of testimonial video. So how do I make my testimonial video, my story, better?
That's a great question.
Or is it a matter of varying degrees?
No, I don't think so. I think that this is secret sauce stuff right here. Like this answer is secret sauce. So in storytelling, one of the general rules that all storytellers will tell you is the good can only be as good as the bad is bad.
Oh.
So that's why all the greatest hero movies have a great villain, right? So if you're just doing a testimonial where you got this guy standing up in front
of a wall. 6'5" is great. Taylor's great. You're going to love working with Taylor. Everything they do is beautiful.
That's right.
That's a boring testimonial.
It's a boring testimonial. It may say everything I want it to say, but in great storytelling, the bad has to be bad.
But here's a true testimonial. I had hired another director to do a piece for me for a nonprofit.
Yep.
And it was falling apart and I couldn't get the direction going the way it should and the production qualities were going and I had to fire somebody and I was introduced to Taylor.
Yep.
And then Taylor came in and produced a piece that ended up actually sharing this nonprofit story all around the world.
Yeah.
True. And this is a true story.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a much more interesting story. Taylor's great. Taylor Robinson, where would I find you if I wanted to plug in and learn more about you at 6foot5.com.
6foot5.com is the production company and ARC Stories. That's ARC like a story arc, ARCStories.com.
And what about this new entity?
Oh, boy.
Let's get back together and we'll talk about that next.
Love it.
All right. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitzmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.